Welcome, everybody. We've now finally got back here to Just Three Gents, part of the Biconics Wrestling Podcast. It is, again, a very weird week for us here at the Biconics Wrestling Podcast because we are out straight. And I'm sorry, Marky, I didn't mean to say the S word there. I'm sorry. But it is WrestleMania week, so all of us are just kind of reviewing everything quickly, trying to gear up for the weekend. Even if we're not on the WWE shows, we are involved in it. We're going to be doing a bunch of live streams, a bunch of reactions. If you're part of our Patreon, you will be able to see those as part of the tiers there. But otherwise, check us out on Twitch and on YouTube. We'll have some links there where we can actually react to live wrestling. Kind of fun there.
Yay!
But also, we have the YouTube channel you found us on. Hi, thanks for coming. If you're not part of the BC WrestlePod fam right now, we're really great that the all-knowing Cthulhu just shot you here in the middle of nowhere. Subscribe to the channel so you can stay here and be safe. This is kind of the nice place like Dark Souls where you have a little bit of a respite. You can hit that alert button to get all of our content sent to you personally. It's curated that way. We kind of love it there. You can follow us on social media at BC WrestlePod on Instagram, on X, on a bunch of different other places that we do there. I'm old. I don't know all the social medias. And of course, even though WrestleMania is a big, big deal, the biggest deal for us is that we are going to be fully armpitted in about a month. We're all going to New Jersey, and by all of us, I mean the East Coast people that can drive and get there, and Mikey, who just loves us so much that he wants to be out there with us on an airplane.
Breaking news, I booked my flight on yesterday, so we're officially going.
We're going to be at New Jersey WrestleCon, and we're going to be tabling there, so come see Mikey, myself, Adolfo, Jesse, pretty much the ROH crew, plus Adolfo. We're going to be all set up there to be able to see you there, talk about the podcast, get some comments from you, and see our faves as well. We're really excited for a lot of people there. Check it out on New Jersey WrestleCon on their website. I think that's everything I need to talk about. That's all we're doing there. We don't have merch yet, nothing else, but we have a lot of great ideas we've talked about in the past. Professor and I have something in the works, hopefully, that he just doesn't remember. But we're going to jump into AEW Dynamite right away because we start off, interestingly, Adam Copeland comes out to give a promo. I'm like, okay, this must be about the TNT Championship. This must be what's been going on here. No, he's not Adam Copeland the wrestler. He's Adam the fan who wants to talk about the good part of wrestling for close to 15 minutes.
Yeah, this ran super long. And I'm not sure, it was rambly a little bit. I mean, it wasn't quite rambly like Old Man Yells at Cloud, but it was definitely like, where are we going? What are we doing? And like we were discussing when I was being recorded and I didn't know. I know a little bit of the tea, like I know some of these plot lines and stories. I don't know what put it over the edge to which Adam Copeland would have to come out and do such a thing. I know, I dad joked my way right through that.
He came out like a punk and just had to deal with something that punks would say. So that's probably where it came from. But also, sure, there was an omen at the beginning of this. You know, the amount of mic problems he was happening probably shouldn't have done this long promo. But there, Mikey, you were talking about this earlier. The internet is split on this, like right down the middle.
Okay, so I can't speak for my other constituents here, but let me give my two cents as I get everyone up to speed of what happened. So earlier in the week, leading into with all WrestleMania and all the other events happening within the span of the next couple of days, as WWE tends to do, a lot of their wrestlers do press for a variety of outlets, things like that, like websites like Fightful, Holic Boys, the Wrestle Talk Boys are also doing some of the stuff like
YouTubers, Ariel Hawani.
Yeah, the MMA Hour, like ESPN, Sports Illustrated. Like, there's lots of press for all these things. So, speaking of the MMA Hour, this is where the source of all of this comes from.
Oh, this was on Ariel Hawani's show then.
Yeah.
I love Ariel. Wait, really? Okay.
Do you? Because apparently you don't watch.
I used to watch Ariel a lot, actually, when I was following more MMA stuff. I haven't seen his show in a few months. I used to listen to his podcast a lot.
I'm more of a Flounder fan. I do like Scuttle and Sebastian, but Ariel's pretty cool.
I mean, Flotsam and Jetsam, absolutely underrated.
I'm with you right there. One eye for each.
Slay.
Anyhow, you were saying, Mikey.
So, the MMA Hour had CM Punk earlier on in the week. And, of course, you know, this is where I have issues with the MMA Hour, because you're doing press, obviously, as a responsible news correspondent slash sports person. want to try to interview about the upcoming event and then try to get the exclusives and or tea. Ariel decided to just forego all that, throw it out the window, and just focus solely on Punk's experience in AEW. So the majority of this Punk interview on the MMA Hour was asking CM Punk about certain things that happened. And to summarize what Punk said, he basically took a massive shot at AEW. And we don't like to use the term buried, but like he went to full scorched earth within the things he was able to talk about without breaking confidentiality things and stuff like that. It was not great. He basically called out Tony Khan. He said that they're not in the business to make money. Like,
Tony Khan's a nice person, but he's a horrible boss. Like, all that great stuff. And then went after Jack Perry.
Which we're going to talk about a certain EVPs later in the show.
Oh, yeah.
Then, like, immediately, too, Cody Rhodes gets asked the same question because he comes on the following day, and Cody has a different reaction. While being as professional as he can, he basically kind of chastises Punk a little bit and says that Cody himself is proud of the company that, you know, he helped start with All Elite Wrestling and whatnot. Fast forward to tonight.
Right.
So, like, I could tell Tony and the higher ups and everybody else in AEW was just like, hey, we need to kind of address this because the internet took hold of that interview and it has been a civil war. And but then it only the got right, worse.
Well, they did the right thing because they didn't let Tony tweet about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I expected from this, was like a long Twitter rant from Tony Khan. And no, they sent. I don't think they sent. I think Adam Cole actually had these feelings, and like this is him riffing basically on it.
Right. So fast forward to this promo. This is where this first 15 minutes of the show came from to kind of address it. Now, do I think Copeland should have been the one to do this? Not really. Honestly, if we were going to do this, I know he's probably busy, but I would have actually preferred if Mox came out to do a promo like that and have someone like that. But I think Copeland is the safest choice.
Mox wouldn't have done it. Mox doesn't believe it.
It's fair. But the whole point being is that since the Copeland, you know, promo from last night, the war on the internet has only intensified. People are calling each other out. I mean, the internet wrestling, the IWC is a toxic place anyways, but it has just been scorched earth.
Wow.
And that's the funny thing, because this was meant to be like a rah-rah of wrestling is great. I've been a fan everywhere.
Like what you don't like. Don't get tribalistic about
exactly. Sure, yeah. All that good stuff. And then I'm having fun. But again, people are turning it whatever way they want to because we're all toxic, wonderful fans is what we are.
Wow. I just pulled up bits and pieces and some quotes and things for two. What's interesting is that Adam took it upon himself to respond this way. And in doing so, calling out every promotion, calling them by the original name, says WWF, which is like blasphemy. Mentioning workers and professionals and everything about it. I think the first half of this genuinely felt like heartfelt and, you know, solid to me. Like I'm genuinely, I'm here for it. We're fans. We love this. We've loved this forever sort of thing. I think you're going off a little rails on the second half of it. Cause then I was like, now it's starting to sound like you were told to go out there and fix this. Am I a little out, like, is that
prove you're the fun dad? Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Like go back to the propaganda, bring it back to the brand thing. I didn't dislike it. It was a long promo. Like, they sat in this one for a long time. Yeah. And again, this is sort of, CM Punk has that ability to get underneath everybody. There's no middle, right? It's hate love with what CM Punk has always done. I haven't dived into the internet of it. I was also...
Let me report on that real quick, because it has gotten wild out here.
Is it crazy, crazy? What happened?
So, This is the short version of it. So because when you pair what Punk said a little with what Cody said and then the response from Copeland and putting all three of this together, the internet right now is in one of three camps. One, you have the pro CM Punk side, which is just tearing AEW down to the point where lots of people normally, but a lot more because within the last few days, preying on AEW's downfall. Then you have the other side where everyone is pro Copeland, where it's like tearing down Punk and WWE and whatnot. And then you have people like me who are like the Cody Rhodes of this situation, where I'm in the middle. I can see both sides, but I am not taking a side because I have stayed quiet on all of this, because the moment I say something, it's like Punk brought up some good points, but I also understand where Copeland's coming from and trying to, you know, use my brain once in a while. The internet has those pro-Punk and those pro-Copeland sides of wherever they standing have torn apart other online creators that I follow for taking the middle ground stance. It has been nuts.
Yikes. Yeah, probably not the... Well, I mean, any any publicity is good publicity if you're WWE, so I'm sure they sort of hate and love this going into the weekend, right? Everyone's going to be watching and thinking about something.
And we're all at a fever pitch because of what weekend it is. Everybody, this is the biggest weekend of the year in wrestling for every company, not just WWE, not AEW. Mm-hmm. And so everyone's like paying attention. The world is watching. You want to get your shots in because you want those eyeballs on you. And that's partially what this is too, because what better way to use this publicity for eyes on the product than getting people to see some sort of thing going down? And then we have the VPs later on the night just stoking the fire. So
we'll talk about that.
It's a way to get it done, but also it took up a lot of time on a show that it wasn't throwaway, but in the weekend where they're not featured heavily, except for their ROH pay-per-view, didn't need to be the biggest show in the world. It just felt like kind of maybe a misstep in that respect to go that long with it. Maybe you should just end it with, we're all fans, let's be fans, and then walked away from it there. But we didn't leave it there, because then Adam Copeland introduced us to our next match, which is kind of fun. And I figured something out this week, guys. I figured it out finally. Mikey, you're Canadian. You have to be, because he pronounced Will Ospreay's last name like you do. And I was like, oh, that's why Mikey says Ospreay. That makes sense, as Will came out.
How did you know my secret?
I thought that it was pronounced like the bird. Isn't the bird Ospreay?
Yeah, that's how it's pronounced.
So then Ospreay is how you're supposed to say it?
No, that's how Adam Copeland says it and Mikey says it. So there's different ways to pronounce
Canadian,
it.
Canadian, you guys.
Mikey's Canadian.
Exactly.
But that explains why I apologize a lot.
I did like the stare down with Will Ospreay and Adam Copeland. He finally got his belt back and like went back into wrestler mode. It's like, oh, that'd be a fun little thing there to see those two go at it. Okay, let's move on from there. As Will Ospreay came down to take on his Don Callis family cohort, Powerhouse Hobbs. And basically, this is going to be the thing. We're just going to have Will Ospreay defeat his entire faction to showcase how awesome he is. And yet, this was my match of the night.
This was great. I had a lot of fun watching this. I'm not sure what this Don Callis let me run you through my whole family thing is or why.
It makes no sense.
We talked about it last time we saw this, and we're like, oh, okay, great. And now we're back again. Like, what?
I'm thinking we're building towards a mini reunion of United Empire with Aussie Open and Will taking on Don Callis' family. I think that's what they're trying to go for.
At this point, he's beaten everybody. This is the first time we've seen one of the other participants get angry at him for beating him. Like, Hobbs finally getting like pissed off. So I don't know. Like, there was a lot of back and forth in this. Hobbs, you know, no selling a lot of Ospreay's offense. Mm-hmm. Will having to work his way around him, and I just, again, it's Will Ospreay can make anybody look amazing. Everything he does is ridiculous.
Yeah, I thought this was a great match, though. Like, I really enjoyed this. Again, where are we going? What are we doing? Are we trying to break up the Don Callis family? Do we just need infighting? Like, what story are we telling, I guess? Powerhouse Hobbs is just such a beast to watch, especially with someone who can high fly like Will. Like, it's just... Styles make fights, just the cliche thing. Like, and just some of the stuff that landed here and happened here. It looked more violent, Hobbs doing it to Ospreay, like picking him up and bashing him into the apron. Like, all these little hints and subtle things. Like, oh, it looks even worse when you do it to him. Ugh.
The second rope twisting power slam looked nasty.
The timing of that is just wild to me, because you're hitting that lariat coming off the rope right at the right moment to throw them into it. It's like, oh, blah, blah, blah.
Well, and then Will Ospreay's so good that he goes limp. Yes. He doesn't just fall. He lands hard and like looks like he's knocked out.
So that was amazing. So yeah, there was some really great stuff in this match. I don't know if they cut it short because Adam Copeland ran long. I got the feeling this should have ran longer because all of a sudden it was over. It was like, go home, bang, it's done, it's ended. It's like, okay, well, I guess that makes sense because Adam Copeland just talked for 50 minutes. I guess so.
Who knows? It's pretty much that way. Mikey, you watched the same match we did. That it's just crazy how much they got in.
Powerhouse Hobbs is so underutilized, it's ridiculous. Like, why is this man not at the forefront? If not at the top of your main, like, championship, why is he not at the top for your mid-card titles? Like,
and we've talked about this off and on for a year or more, right? Like, what are you doing with Powerhouse Hobbs?
He and Wardlow have a weirdly similar track. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they need to be a tag team called the Job Squad. And then they just wreck everybody.
That's rough, but kind of right. Well, because Powerhouse Hobbs won the ladder match a year ago and got a shot at kind of a title. And then nothing really happened. And then...
I thought we were going to do something cool because him and Miro had a baller match at All Out last year, and then nothing.
And he's fought Wardlow multiple times for those like mid-card championships and done that stuff too. Like I said, he has potential. There's something missing, or he's just in the wrong boot with somebody else, and he needs to, I think, be paired up with somebody that's not a faction, but just someone he can run with for a bit and either be like the big little or two big guys. It's blasphemy. The new workhorseman, him and Wardlow.
I have an update on that, by the way, which we'll talk about off camera.
Oh, of course. Of course. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But we had the raising of Will Ospreay's arm. We had, House Hobbs knocking him away. And we close out the match of the night in the first little bit there. And I was excited for this. And Mikey, I know you were too. You were ready for more to happen.
Well, we didn't have to wait for long too, but this Will and Hobbs was the awesome match of the night only because of how the rest of the night panned out.
Yeah.
I'm going to reserve my spiciness to when we get to certain parts because the first 45 minutes of the show, I was like, okay, we're off to a good start. Like, there's some good stuff here. And then when we hit a certain point for like another chunk, I'm like, oh, this is not my favorite, but I enjoyed this match. I loved watching Hobbs kind of run Will down most of the match. And then Will just having to, all right, we need to end this quickly. Bam, let's go.
Can I ask a question? So obviously Hobbs landed hard or got hit hard by one of the moves in the head before the hidden blade. Mm-hmm. And then when Ospreay pinned him, he like held his head up and was talking to him. Do we think something was actually wrong with Hobbs in that moment? Or do we think like this was like he was knocked out and Ospreay's like, stay down, stay down, stay down, stay down.
I saw that. I don't know. I took that at first as sort of a friendly communication. And then on the rewatch this morning, I was like, I wonder what he's saying. I couldn't quite.
Right.
Because he was cradling his head.
This will not be the first time that I get worried about someone landing on their head.
Happened a lot tonight, but we moved on from there. I love the commentary pointed this out. Like, Brian Danielson just appeared to really troll Will Ospreay. He's like, he wasn't supposed to come out till after the break. And he's out there coming out and doing his thing and the two of them. And I love that, like, they're both coming out of the babyface tunnel still. It's like, oh, Danielson, you're a babyface. Yeah. Interesting. But we were going to have Danielson taking on Lance Archer coming up. And I'm like, oh, they're just basically trying to mirror each other by taking on big monsters. But this was an NJPW match basically for Lance Archer. And Danielson was just going to sell for him the entire time. I thought it was a squash for most of it. It was ridiculous.
It was. And dude's hitting him hard.
Yeah.
Like, there are some shots here that I'm like, that's receipt worthy in my humble viewing opinion. Like, that's painful. Some of those body shots he was throwing, foot to face, pulling and just yelling yes, like, oh, that looks like it hurts. Oh my God. Danielson got a few things at the end though, that strange armbar falling sequence, what are we turning this into thing that turned into the crossface, which was a little clunky. Commentary kind of called that out and was sort of like, yeah, it looks like he dropped him. He fell. He's maneuvering into the next thing. Yeah, I'm not sure what that was. Archer hits hard. Archer was rocking Danielson this entire time. That was And of course, Danielson's great at this and sells right when the camera's in the right spot and is, you know, framed up perfectly because he's amazing. I think Taz made a little too much out of this Texas rivalry thing. And could you imagine in 25 years, they've never met each other, but they've heard of each other. They both came up from Texas. I was like, I don't. Just let the man meet Hitman meet. I don't need.
Grasping at straws.
Fake history stuff. I'm sure they know each other. I'm sure they're fine with each other. Great.
Mikey, did you notice at the end there in the final sequence that I'm pretty sure I saw this as Danielson taking care of Archer with his concussion history, that like the kicks to the head and then the knee were off just a little bit, so it was not fully taking him on, like it was not hitting him hard in the head.
Oh, interesting.
Everything else he hit him in the body was good, but yeah, like the ending. Did you catch that, Mikey, or am I crazy?
I did too, and I watched this match a second time through because I wanted to test something that I thought I saw, and it turned out to be correct too. So, as we can tell, I am not necessarily the most athletic person, right? However, I do know the science. If you want to strike someone really hard, there is a certain science behind it. And when I was watching Danielson's kicks, even his form was pulled back a little bit too. Because if you want to do the most damage with a kick, just like kind of like flick a little bit with the heel in order to maximize damage on a small point of where you're kicking at. Danielson's form was a little bit more loose when he was throwing those kicks. So it sounded like it still hurt, but the actual impact was a lot softer than what we know Danielson normally is. So
yeah, very, very skilled there.
And he does it in such a beautiful way. And that we kind of teach that in stage combat classes too, where it's sort of, I'm not putting anything into the target. I'm trying to get flush and put it past the target thing. Because an actual kick, I'm going to get my shin and drive it down and into you, and that's going to hurt a lot. It's sort of a clap with the leg. However, he's doing it in such a way that, I mean, maybe it's just because Archer's chest is the size of a kitchen table, so it's just, bam, this big clap that comes off of it is just amazing.
Do you think we could fit both Jack and Rose on that chest to survive, or is it just enough for one person?
I mean, there was room on the original door. There's room for a whole bunch of folks on this door. Like, this is a 6-foot-8 door.
The three of us can climb all over Lance Archer and survive.
Yeah, that's an island. We would all survive there.
The Murder Hawk will float us to safety.
It's like Data in Star Trek 3 there. Anyhow, we got through that there. Danielson picks up the victory. So both Ospreay and Danielson are going on to have victories going into Dynasty. This match is going to be... I don't know how they're going to top it. They've got to put it at the end of the night because there's no way they're going to top this.
Nope. It's not.
This is already.
Danielson and AEW have confirmed that that match is not main eventing Dynasty.
Really? Then what?
They're going to have to put a match in between that and Swerve and Joe then because they can't have
the other. Swerve and Joe has been reported to be most likely being the main event for Dynasty.
I mean, that makes sense. I mean, I love Swerve and Joe, but I think shortlist. Those two are, that has match of the year potential, just looking at it from here on out. And we're in April. Like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, that has the potential to be match of the year, unlike what we saw next.
Well, I was going to say, I fell asleep for like an hour not watching this, and I woke up when it was Jay White versus Daddy Ass. So we can just kind of skip over the next few promos if we want to. Let me back that up.
Not going to stop.
I'm being flippant, I'm being a little obsequious at this point because,
good word.
Yes, I use that word. I'm loving what they're doing with the different camera angles now with Renee's promos they're doing. So I did write down, we're going back to old WCW ones where we're looking at different parts of the audience on the main stage. It's not just like straight on to the Tron, which is great. As Lionheart, Chris Jericho comes out to give a promo and talk about what happened last week, and he needs to talk about Hook and how much he wants to be a mentor to Hook, and he calls out Hook, send up the hook signal, put that hook signal up. Hook comes out looking like he was actually packing to go home from school and didn't end up like grabbing his backpack. They have their back and forth. It's not worth much, but they're apparently going to have a tag match on Collision. Hooray.
And we find out who their opponents are shortly afterwards.
We do.
What? Why is this needed? Why is this happening?
It's not
needed. I don't.
Lion Hook's a goofy name. Like, what are we doing?
Hook.
I mean, Hook is so cool. Now we're making him less cool. Just the way that we're attacking this.
I'm upset that he no longer carries a bag of chips with him around.
Well, because Danhouse is still eating it. Did I'd anyone else notice the goodbye Chris had to the camera and then weirdly touching Renee as she left?
Ew, no, I did not. Ew.
Go back and watch this. As they're cutting away, I think he goes to like pat her on the shoulder to say like good job or thank you, but he like she's already too far, so he like drags his finger down her strap on her. It's just weird. Like I like because it's Lionheart, like, it's Chris Jericho. I notice when he's touching other people because right. He shouldn't be doing that.
Speaking of which, Chris Jericho looks like he took an hour nap and just woke up. Let's see.
Or did something else in the background and ate a couple edibles. But
hang on. I'm watching the fist bump and I want to see this awkward Renee moment.
Oh my god. It's just almost on camera when he
does. He doesn't know how to fist bump anyone. He just hooks hands.
Not that hard.
Let's see this awkward moment.
Oh my god. Please go back and watch this if you can. Find a feed for this because it's just so strange. It's as they cut away.
Oh why?
Yeah, why? Yeah.
It is so weird. Oh my gosh.
Why?
Look, we're not insinuating anything.
No, it is weird because of the insinuations against Jericho.
Sure. Allegedly.
And that gets on the like on the air. That's why I said allegations. But we cut away from that and right away, and even commentary seems like completely thrown off by this. That we're not gonna wait till Collision to figure out who their opponents are. It's gonna be Shane Taylor Productions, where, you know,
What were these camera zoom-ins? I was perplexed.
Lee Moriarty was flatter than I've ever seen him before, too. Like, did he think he was Lee Johnson? Oh, and so he had to, like, do the comment thing as Lee Johnson?
No, I think Lee Moriarty, Shane Taylor is not going to really do it. But Moriarty's just like, why are we involved with this whole entire feud? Like,
right.
It's like, it's stupid. And, like, I'm frustrated because Shane Taylor Productions, promotions, they always interchange the words ever so often, but they are always on the losing end of things. And I don't understand why. Oh, it's so frustrating.
So we move on from that quickly. We get to the next match. I can't call it a match.
This wasn't a match?
This was Jay White versus Daddy Ass, and Daddy Ass interrupts Jay White's entrance. I got it.
That was kind of dope.
That was very dope, but one, Jay White spent the entire match bumping like Shawn Michaels for Hogan the entire time. And two,
he does, though.
How much are we paying Jay White to basically get squashed by 60-year-old Billy Gunn? Like, why? So, why are we doing this to him?
Like, I'm not saying that Jay White should see if there are other greener pastures to go to, but my enthusiasm and my investment in Jay is deteriorating every time we see him. It's not his fault, but like,
did he do something? Some sort of rumor about him?
Jay is a professional, like wherever he goes. Like, I have never seen or heard a bad thing about the man.
He's just been getting crushed into booking oblivion since I've been watching.
Six of these folks have been doing so. Like, it's
I absolutely love commentary where they were talking about, like, oh, has Jay White ever fought anybody as badass as Billy Gunn here? Has he taken anybody else? Excalibur, you know things about other countries. Well, what about there? And I'm like, did you not see his run in AJPW? Like, seriously.
Didn't he just do a Swerve and Hangman triple threat thing like a month ago?
That was fantastic.
And it was great. I don't know. I'm reminded of the quote from The Acclaimed a while ago when they straight up told him, maybe you should have signed someplace else.
They're not wrong.
And it was ooh, I wonder what that was all about and if that was an above board moment for the D&D people. I'm not sure what we're doing with him or what's going on or if it was a horrible person, it would be like, these are receipts or this is what you earned or we're going to put you in the doghouse for a while or whatever.
It seems like a Vince McMahon era punishment.
It feels wrong. Like, what are you doing to this guy?
Let's hope this ends after Dynasty. Just get him out of everything and get Juice Robinson back.
I hope so. Like, this feud is doing nothing for nobody. None of these six guys are benefiting from this. Like, nothing's going well for Jay. The guns aren't benefiting. The Acclaim are definitely not benefiting. And Billy Gunn is not This feud does nothing for no one, and I'm disappointed. I feel that this, and Professor can feel my pain on this, this is giving me shades of the Pride and Final Testament like storyline booking that we have been dealing with. Like, tell me I'm wrong, Professor. Like, no, this is giving me the exact same vibes.
This is absolutely the same problem and the same thing. And I don't know who's booking this or throwing this out there. I feel like there's something we don't know, but are they just trying to squeeze him out? Is he willing to take extra money to just get squanched on Dynamite all the time?
He doesn't seem like the person that would take the extra money to be the jobber to the stars.
No, but he seems like such a professional stand-up guy. In interviews I've seen and stuff outside of all this kayfabe, I'm like, what are we doing? I don't want to jump the gun, but... Uh-huh. Oh, I didn't mean to do that. I absolutely mean to do that. Oh, hey, there's an earthquake happening in my house right now. So you all know.
Wow.
It's over right now. But there was an earthquake. My son ran to the doorway. Good for him.
Aftershocks will be coming.
I was like, oh, that just happened. At the end of all this, all hell's breaking loose. Jay White jumps out of the ring, tries to leave because the Acclaimed have shown up. And now we're having this fight and this brawl's happening and all. Did Jay actually slip?
It looks like
the Acclaimed had to cover for him and grab him and throw him back in the ring.
It looked like he was supposed to get farther up the ramp and he didn't. I'm so distracted right now, Professor. You are just shaking all over.
Oh, was it bad behind me?
No, not behind you. Like, we were just watching your entire thing there. I'm hoping everything's okay.
I realized this. Thank you. My family's very worried about the earthquake.
Understand. If you need to cut out, please do. Like, that's just crazy.
Sure.
Natural stuff. Like, you know, I've got a snowstorm outside. That's not an earthquake. We're just waiting for, like, you know, a tree to come through my roof. See how distracted we can get from this stupid match, because
exactly, we're worried about it. It was so good the gods went, nope, I'll be right back.
Okay. Mikey, for you on this one, honestly, even with the after stuff and him tripping up the ramp and everything else, what did this further for you?
It didn't further anything, because again, we had an idea with these six being in the factions, didn't help nobody. They didn't know what to do with the factions. So Trios Championships and the six-man tag team championships have been in limbo for who knows how long at this point. And this is definitely leading to a Trios Championship match between the Bullet Club Gold and the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn, which I'm hoping, you know, nobody wins in this. I'm trying to find the positives, but nobody wins in this match. And it makes no sense, because I was excited with the introduction of the Trios Championship, but just like everything else, outside of your singles championship, our tag and our Trios divisions are suffering.
Completely.
Ridiculous.
You know who is not suffering, though? You know who is doing very well is Willow Nightingale. This was the best promo she's ever given. And she's in her hometown kind of area. Her and Stat ran that all the time. I loved Mother Fluffin' Great. That was great for that stuff. This is where the WCW angle came into play. And her talking about, like, does she belong? You know, is she, you know, the chubby, you know, like tall, chubby girl that can be in here and doing this stuff? I just felt for her. And then Stokely jumping in and being his own badass self. This was an amazing promo.
I love that Chris Latlander played like the bodyguard background with the shades on. It was fantastic. And she was just like clapping along too with everything. So upon first viewing, I didn't necessarily like the camera angles. At least I didn't like how close we were. I was like, y'all can take
it. I loved it.
Well, upon watching it the second time, I was like, okay, this is actually not bad. But what comes next is where I have a little bit of a question. Am I excited?
Yeah, I will say that too.
Yeah, I'm excited. But I also have lots of questions.
Well, because it was like a more canned promo, it felt really weird having Mercedes Moné come out and interrupt and like in the way she did. It was just very strange.
Well, that was questionable too. And then I was questionable because, not to bury the lead here, and sorry to take post away from you for a little bit, but whoever wins at Dynasty, Mercedes gets a match for that TBS championship at Double or Nothing.
Right.
Which is, I'm like, so the end goal for me is to have Willow versus Mercedes. But do we have Which makes me think, does Willow lose at Dynasty so Mercedes can beat Julia, or do we have Willow win only for her to hold that title for a couple of weeks and then lose it at Double or Nothing?
I say you get Willow to win it, because then there's the jealousy with Statlander, so you can build in some sort of break there too with Stokely and everything else as she goes up against Mercedes and All Out.
I just want Willow to hold on for the title for a couple months and have a fun title run. Don't let her be transitional champion for like a couple weeks and then throw it on your new signee.
Make it mother fluffin' great.
Yes, but I'm ecstatic, which means that since Mercedes is next in line, that definitely tells me that I think Willow's walking out of Dynasty as the champion.
I can see it. Professor, you watch this as well. This was the WCW angle I talked about.
Yes, I like seeing that angle again. I think it's, and we've talked about this the last few weeks, so the new taking the risk with camera angles, and sometimes it pays off and sometimes it absolutely doesn't. I like this. It doesn't throw me off. I do agree with you both that the promo itself felt a little very, very planned, and it wasn't like it was cardboard or anything. It was just sort of, this is straightforward, okay, go, sort of promo. And knowing that she's worked there, her and Mercedes, who put the time in out there too, I've seen them do better. I was expecting a little bit more for sure. But I'm not going to rag on them. I'm happy to see it. So sorry, it's okay. There's an earthquake. Oh, hell's breaking loose.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of where we are with it. Like it's going into its next thing there. There's a couple other moving pieces that we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so we have,
at least have our storylines planned out.
We have 2 weeks to finish building up what we're getting at Dynasty, and the seeds have been planted for our TBS Championship match at Double or Nothing.
I was kind of, what is angry doorman Chris Stratlander now? Like, sort of, you're not getting into my club.
I
Chris
love that.
She brought back the persona she had when she was running with Best Friends, where she would do that behind Orange Cassidy because he's got the shades on and everything else. It's the same kooky, weird thing that she was doing. I'm so happy to see her have that kind of personality.
Didn't she also have an alien thing at one point, too?
Yeah, we don't talk about that. Anyhow, it's basically... She's to poke people in the nose. Yes,
I remember that. I've heard that she had an alien thing, and I'm like, oh, I like the alien. The time.
But I am glad that she moved on and started talking.
Yes, very much so, because she is a good talker. And then we had the betrayal of the night, I guess.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
and I'm not even talking about the match. I'm betrayed because commentary set up a really cool scenario that I was really upset they didn't explore. Because in this Young Bucks versus Best Friends, final going into the finals of the tag team tournament, they said, we have heard from Tony Khan, if this goes to the 20-minute draw on this, then it would be
it would be
FTR versus Top Flight in the final as the final match. And I'm like, don't set that up if you don't want that to happen. I think that would be a cool swerve to do on these teams where they don't make it to the end of this tournament that they set up.
Yeah.
And you have that be that next time. That'd be so much more fun. And they didn't.
I absolutely thought the same thing. I absolutely thought the only reason for them to mention that a draw is to take us to a draw. Like, that's the only, I was like, wait, What? No, don't do that to me. This, without giving it away, this was ruined for me because I checked something that had nothing to do with wrestling on my phone, and this was on the feed because it had just happened. And I went, what? That doesn't even make any sense. I'm going to ignore that and then watch Dynamite in 30 minutes because then I could skip the commercials.
Yes.
And then I got to it and went, but, huh? I must have watched this moment four times. Like, what? Why? Who? And not why, like, why? But why, like, where? What are you?
Okay.
Mikey's got answers here. But we're talking about the fact that Best Friends broke up at the end of this match after they lost to the Young Bucks, who also called out Jack Perry on the way in. Scapegoat, I love your work.
I know. The fact that he's in House of Torture is still questionable at best for me, but that's for a different podcast.
It's a questionable faction, but yeah. No. Why? In front of Sue.
That was my biggest, like, that's what hurt the most. It's like Trent turned in front of Mama Sue. Like, why? Not this sweet lady. By the way, shout out to Mama Sue for being involved in this match too, the way she was. I love when she gets involved in these matches.
Every shot of her was great. Her with the bottled water, like moving it out of the way and just sort of being the mom in the corner. Everything she did with EVP was hysterical. I thought it was really funny.
Kind of punch her in the face, then back it off.
Sue does a better fist bump than Lionheart himself. Like, that is saying something.
She winged that thing. That was a trip.
I'm going to get some flack for this, though. Trent Barrena's Busaiku knee is better than Daniel Bryan's or Bryan Danielson's.
I was just going to say it looked really good.
It's smoother.
I mean, it looks hard, too. I will agree with you. I was like, ooh, that was kind of smooth here. I'm going to abstain from the conversation, though, because I was like, we're going to fight. Not really, though. But how dare you do this to Mama Sue, Trent? How dare you?
Your mom drove you. You don't have a ride home.
The other thing I found interested too is that Mr. Chucky T didn't really seem too torn up about it either. Like, he was shocked.
Well, they were saying he didn't know anything about it, but still.
But like, he didn't like go run over to Orange. He didn't yell at Trent. He's just like, oh, okay, cool. I was like, well, and then the other thing too is on social media too, because Chris confronted Trent like in a digital exclusive. He whispered something into her ear and she stopped the line of questioning immediately. I'm like, what does Trent have over Chris? Like, what is happening in the background right now?
All we need is Rocky Romero to confirm some stuff and see what happens here.
Seriously, but to fill in the gap, so this turn I saw coming because...
they've been building this for a year and a half.
Well, on top of that too, we've been also getting little hints also for those of us that watch Rampage, but...
oh... Rampage. This is a Rampage thing?
No, it's been a Dynamite, but we've gotten bits and pieces from Rampage too. So because Rampage, and I want to shout out the Rampage commentary team because they do a better job of making me care about these stories.
I mean,
they made me care
not.
About this Ruby Soho, Cool Hand Ange, like storyline we got going on with Saraya and Zack Knight. Like, that is a nuts.
They definitely do, like, they help carry this along, and we had seen this in a couple pay-per-views too. They've tried for a while where Trent's been not on the same page as everyone else there,
and now it's become official. We don't know if it's going to be Orange and Trent at Dynasty, but this is a really cool story to tell over the next couple of pay-per-views between Dynasty, Double or Nothing, and then if you want to take it all the way into... well, actually, the next pay-per-view after Double or Nothing will be probably Forbidden Door if you wanted to do, like, bring in New Japan to make this more complicated. Because technically, both of them are in Chaos.
It's true. But the other part that I forgot about this, they sowed these seeds really early on when Orange Cassidy brought Danhausen into Best Friends. Because Trent was not having any of Danhausen either. Chucky T was okay with it, but, like, that's where it started.
Where is Danhausen?
I don't know.
Exactly. He's doing some indie stuff back in his old territory right now for WrestleMania weekend. He's actually in like a big tag match for something. It'll be really fun. Huh. But if he gets back for an all-in match with Orange Cassidy to take on Trent and Chucky T, I think that'd be hysterical.
I want Mama Sue to come in with more cookies.
Right.
Super red on a pole. We're doing it.
Fun moment with Matt throwing it to picture-in-picture from the booth.
Oh my God.
That was fantastic.
I like that.
They're now leaning full heel and they've found their stride with this sort of... in the early on, we talked about this early on, we're sort of like, I'm going to find you, I'm in charge, I'm the boss, blah, blah, blah. Now they're really getting that swarmy, snarky, like, okay, I hate these guys thing. It's fun.
So I'll say something from watching the feed that didn't have picture in picture. If you notice what they were doing, you probably didn't hear him on the actual broadcast feed, but he's going, is the ad over here? Is it here? I got to point to it somewhere. Is it right here? Is it here?
That's funny.
So for the non-feed, it's even funnier because he's really playing up. Like, I'm doing the movement and saying it. No one's going to hear me saying this except all those on
fire. Okay, I'm officially sold on the EVPs now. Like, I think now that they kind of figured out how they want to present themselves, like, I'm kind of buying in now and I like this.
And I hope they, I get, if that's true, I hope they're lean full in on making it a satire on the other promotion and where the ads are and how we put ads out and when we throw to and what we throw to. I think that might be where we're going, particularly now with all the CM Punk. I think that could be really cool to watch.
I can see them in a couple weeks, like handing a sheet to somebody they're doing a promo with just to start the promo off. Like, hey, we got a new page for you. Try this out.
Yeah. Or being on headset telling Taz or Excalibur what to say. There's some stuff there. Oy.
We transitioned that from that, though, over to our only women's part of the night. And you know what? Again, Toni Storm on commentary is the best thing about this show. And it was just to a point where it almost took away from the match. Almost. It was at that level. And they pulled it back because Mariah May and Thunder Rosa, they worked each other hard.
Oh, they were great.
Oh, my gosh. I thought... There was a couple of times from both of them, I was like, someone just spiked themselves on the head. Like, Thunder
Rosa went full Asuka.
Yeah. When Thunder hit Mariah, and like, I thought Mariah spiked her head. And then Mariah with that beautiful knee where Thunder's just like flops back on the floor. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
there's a sequence after commercial break where they're hitting each other super hard.
That's that Joshi style of wrestling, Mariah. Yeah, there was nothing over pulled. From Stardom.
And Mariah's throwing it at the collarbone, and Thunder Rosa's throwing it to the chin, but Thunder Rosa's throwing that whole forearm thing right to her face.
I'm telling you, man, it's that Beto O'Reilly style of wrestling from Mexico, too, man. Like,
man, it is painful.
So good.
But beautiful to watch. I did not think Thunder Rosa was walking away from this. I thought we were going full here. Full heel Mariah and then Toni Mariah, whatever. I love that I bought it and it flipped the other way. I thought that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Whoever came up with the idea of doing the dual filter so that no matter what, Toni
is
in half the camera and it's in color, particularly with having Thunder Rosa right there, someone in starch color and someone, that was...
Give them a raise. It's fantastic. I knew that Thunder was going to win because we've been planting Thunder to be the next person to... face Toni, because lest we remember a couple weeks ago, Thunder and Deonna versus Toni and Mariah. Thunder pinned Toni in that match a couple weeks ago.
You're right.
Toni also brought it up on commentary that it's so nice that Thunder's finally around to like do something with the title because I never got to fight her and she just was too cowardly to like go get hurt and go away before fighting me for the title. She just gave it to me.
One thing I also really love, too, is when Thunder won this match, I think this is the first time we truly seen Toni get a little worried about, you know, her title match. Because every single opponent that Toni has gone up against so far, she's had the utmost confidence in, and she doesn't bat an eye. However, I think Tony's starting to realize that Thunder is in a whole different ballpark of a women's wrestler because... Toni can hit hard when need to, but so can Thunder as well. And so it was nice to see a little crack in the armor for Toni a little bit, which means that I think we're going to get a stellar match at Dynasty, but Thunder is not walking out of Dynasty because there is a Deonna Purrazzo circling around somewhere, and we're going to set up that feud, which I am also here for too. Give me my rematch from Impact Wrestling.
It's gonna happen.
There was a crazy moment here, and I pulled it up to make sure I wasn't remembering it incorrectly. Thunder Rosa gets this reversal and tries to go for this sneak roll up. Mariah May's head spikes right into the mat.
On the roll, yeah.
And then Mariah May gets up, runs right over, and then full hand just rocks the teeth out of Thunder Rosa. Ba bam bam. And in watching it, it felt like, oh, that was a receipt. And now watching it again, I'm like, it still looks like a receipt.
It is. It's a full on.
It still looked like, ooh, that hurt and ooh, that happened. Ouch.
All right.
That was a full CVS long one, about 3 feet long. You could see from a mile away.
Yeah. That was owie. But and they're just rocking each other.
We got the confirmation.
So
it's going to be Toni versus Thunder at Dynasty for the championship. And I'm super excited.
Also, highlights of commentary. Toni talked to Mr. Tasmaniac about the fact that orange is not his good color. And he goes, you're about 30 years too late on that one. You're more of a lavender, a seafoam, which is perfect. Her interrupting Toni, Schiavone trying to come back from commercial multiple times and just saying his line for him, also classic. And then her turning to Excalibur and saying, just remind the under-the-desk camera person not to turn that camera on, please, thank you.
So good.
Well, the other thing too is because you boys don't watch Collision 2, she's wiling out on Collision 2. Like her and Mariah May last week on Collision, they were like, mwah. I was like,
oh yes, there was a kiss.
There was a kiss.
Got close.
Oh, I will use DuckDuckGo to look that up later.
Anyhow, we get out off of our only women's part of the evening, and we get a promo from Penta, where he wants to get Adam Copeland to face an AEW original for his title, and we're going to have that match on Collision.
And we already have the graphic prepared. It's happening right now.
Dynamite, oh, geez, not Collision.
Oh, Dynamite. It's next Dynamite.
Collision,
okay,
so it's gonna, Dynamite. This Saturday on Collision, it's Penta versus Commander, which I was just like, oh, this match is going to slap.
Mm-hmm. And no one's going to watch it
because we got WrestleMania. I know. Yeah. And, you know, for those who haven't been watching Collision either, some people have, you know, like, why is Copeland not defending his title at Dynasty? I'm going to tell you why. Because on Collision last week, we have a 6-person tag. And I don't know how tomorrow plays into that match at Dynasty, because the 6-person tag for Dynasty is Copeland, Kingston,
Eddie Kingston,
and Mark Briscoe versus the House of Black. Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be the TNT champion, the ROH champion, and the NJPW strong champion. And they may not be the ones we think they are.
God,
because Briscoe
hope...
could win the ROH championship on Friday.
God, I hope Mark wins the title.
And then has to work with Kingston next. Oh my God, that'd be great.
So great.
Speaking of two people who are just, they're going to work well together, but they hate each other. We have our contract signing. We got all we needed from it. Back and forth commentary on each other. A couple of big moves together. A table was broken. And somebody had to sign the contract in blood. They just got to choose to. Swerve and Joe is going to be intense at Dynasty.
What's really funny is... How do I phrase this? There's this love of violence that, and I read a few things on the internet, which was always a mistake. There's this sort of love of, we love watching it when it's violent and it's scary and it's violent and scary. And every now and then something happens that's sort of theatrically violent and everyone freaks out and goes, I wonder if that was too much. And there's some folks saying that signing the contract in blood and doing the blood and the hand and the schmear and the thing and the thing, that was, I don't know if I needed that to sell the point.
God, we saw Swerve hangman paint full gear. I'm like, what more do you want?
So we saw Joe kick him in the balls afterward, too. Yeah, I mean, like,
there's
come
some
on.
Stuff that's like, I don't know. It's just funny how some folks want to draw the line on, I don't know, that's arbitrary, but that's something I was looking at before
that
we started.
That part didn't get me. What got me is, and I should have known, because Joe has no chill when he's allowed to roam free.
Sure.
And I quote... I am going to beat you down so severely it's going to leave you mentally scarred like you left Diddy's party too late.
Too
end
late.
Quote.
Oh, God.
I was
line.
Like, when
it's
Joe said
line.
That, I had to pause my TV and I had to collect myself because I was like, oh my gosh, they actually let this man say this on television.
And he primed it with that line before when he was like, I'm going to use this in terms that a rapper going to understand.
Could barely understand, might I add. Barely understand.
Like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm going to beat you down severely. It's going to leave Woof. You mentally scarred like you left Diddy's party too late. I'm like,
I love it.
I love
off the chain.
My gosh.
I love off the chain, Samoa Joe. At first, I watched it. I was watching it on my phone. I had to go back and look. I thought that the gag was that it was around his neck and he went and broke the chains. That's what I thought it was at first. Like, whoa, what? And then it went back like, oh no, it's not as cool as that. He's still beating a man with a chain.
Chris. Chain. With a full chain. Yeah.
Swerve having his psycho moment was cool. I enjoyed that. I think Samoa Joe oversold a little bit of the I thought I killed a man thing. That felt a little kind of funny doe-eyed to me. But I could take it or leave that. That match is going to be something else. I don't think it's a match of the year. I think it's still Ospreay, but this isn't one to watch. Everyone's there to watch this for sure to see. And I still don't know. And we talked about this last week. Does Swerve take it or does Joe hang on to it? Oh, and I've been wavering all week thinking about that, but now I'm really wavering, like, ooh, where do you go?
Draw.
45-minute draw?
And then they have to take it to another one at All In.
No, because I'm not waiting until All In to get to that one. That's a lot of pay-per-views.
Wow.
I like the idea of the draw, but I'm still sticking to my booking plan. I think Swerve should take it at Double or Nothing, which is considered one of the big tentpole pay-per-views for AEW. Come on. And have some sort of stipulation. You're literally in Vegas. You have to gamble it all to win this title, so let it be some crazy stipulation. And Swerve comes out on top because you allow Swerve to get the title. Still have the possibility with a stipulation match to allow Joe to still look good at the end of it.
Yeah.
A house rules match.
Yes.
A Swerve's house rules match.
Swerve's house rules. Let's fun. Go.
That would be super cool. Yeah.
So fantastic.
I almost come to our end of AEW here. I want to be able to know what your empanada scale was, though. But Professor, finish your point.
I was just going to say, like, I thought there was going to be the bait and switch of, like, you should read the contract first. This is going to be a blank match or something like that. I had a feeling, but it wasn't quite there. Empanada scale?
Yes. What was your empanada rating for this week's AEW Dynamite? Woof.
Last week, coming off a 9 for the first time in forever. This one, not a 9.
This is 9!
9! Probably a solid 8. Not really up, not really down. 8 out of 10. We talked about the promos that kind of sort of didn't work. We talked about where we were going, but it was still a fun match. Coming off the heels of CM Punk and Adam Copeland, now that's a little clearer to me. Everyone seemed a little heady, though. Like, they were kind of, all right, what are we doing? How are we doing what we're doing? So it wasn't quite as polished, but I like that sometimes. But solid 8.
Solid 8. Mikey?
I give this a solid 7.5 for me this week. I think, so I'm spoiled because as someone who does all 3 AEW shows, I always get to see how each show does each week and then pick my things I like and what I dislike. I mean, I still thought this was a really strong show. I had a good time with it. I'm excited with the prospect of Willow versus Mercedes at Double or Nothing. The contract signing was a lot of fun. I'm excited to see Thunder back in the title picture after being away for so long. However, you know, the Lionheart and Hook segment, and I'm just hoping that whatever's going on with Orange and Trent, like, we handled that properly.
No.
Because I think that has the potential to be really good too. But what really took a lot of points out was what we got with Jay and Billy Gunn, because that was not the greatest match. That was bad.
No.
It was good. That went on for a while too. But I give this a 7.5, and for me personally, it always flips every week because I thought Collision was the best show last week. And that was tough because I really enjoyed Dynamite too. But yeah, this Dynamite wasn't bad, but you know, it's really hard because the last couple shows that we've had in Canada were great.
Go figure. Canada produces some great wrestling shows. I'll also give it a 7.5 for all the same reasons, including the fact that we only have one women's segment again. We had I don't count the promo as a segment, so that's the thing. But that's where we leave ourselves for this week's Dynamite going into WrestleMania weekend. Thank you, BC WrestlePod fan, for joining us on this journey. We really love you being here. And for everyone else that gave their sacrifice to the Blood Demon last week and this week, thank you for joining us on this journey. Continue to do so. You know, all hail algorithm, as we saw last week.
Professor Stan wearing the undershirt. All hail.
But in general, we appreciate you coming to visit us every week here on the AEW Dynamite Review and watching this with us, because we're getting to see an involvement of a new company together and really be there as the history is written. And you know what? It's always historical because you're iconic.
I don't like it when Daddy and Daddy fight, you guys.
No, we're not fighting at all. I know bits and pieces.
We're hugging very vigorously.
I know bits and pieces. Maybe I'm missing something. There's just something that I was like, what is the focal point for that?
It is, but that was a great opening bit, by the way.
Welcome,
everybody.
This is recording. How long are we recording? You should let me flounder in here.
It's more like scuttle, but you know,
let me talk about what I want to talk about.
In honor of my lack of SNL knowledge, that was our cold open.
Yeah,
thank you so much for tuning into another Vibe Tribe production. What's going to happen next time? Well, you're going to have to tune in to find out. But until then, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, make sure that you keep the good times rolling. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.